November 19th, local time 4 p.m. at ICANN 48 Buenos Aires in the La Pampa Room. This is a continuation of the CCNSO meeting, member meeting day one.
All right. Hello again, everybody. We're going to get started again in a couple of minutes with some statements from our candidates and some Q&A. And we're actually going to start with a few minutes of Q&A with Chris, our board candidate. So yeah, if we could get started in 1 or 2 minutes, please. Okay, we have the next 30 minutes to have some statements from the candidates for the current open or soon-to-be-open council seats for Africa and for Europe. But just to start with, we're going to have Chris de Spain, who was just here, come up for an opportunity for Q&A from our board candidate. So while I'm reeling Chris back in, come back up, Chris, you can start thinking about any questions that you may have for him. We'll try to limit him to 5 or so minutes, because then we'll have the opportunity to hear from the two candidates from Africa and the two candidates from Europe. Chris de Spain.
I feel that I do this understanding.
As we all know, Chris is our candidate for the CCNSO or the CC board seat. As he is uncontested, there probably isn't a need for him to make any long statements or convince us, although maybe I'm wrong on that. So Chris does have the opportunity to say something, but then probably the most important part is if there's any questions for Chris. Chris.
Thank you, Byron, and hello, everyone. Thank you very much indeed for renominating me to the ICANN board. I do appreciate it. I know in the 3 years that I have been, well, it's actually been 2 years, there's one more year to go in the current term, but in those 2 years, the growth in the CCNSO has really been amazing, and I'm conscious of the fact that there are faces in this room that I don't actually know all that well, so I will do my best to make an effort over the next few months to actually, perhaps at Singapore, to spend a bit more time in the CCNSO. But look, this is not about me speaking. This is about you asking me questions and then me speaking. So if anyone has anything they'd like to ask at all, and it can be a question about the board, it can be a question about me, it can be a question, it doesn't have to be anything to do with that. It could be, you can ask me a question about stuff that's happening in ICANN, anything you like. Meaning of life? Oh, that got two hands up. Three hands up. Okay.
That was almost simultaneous, so why don't I try to make it fair, and I'll just go from left to right.
Who's left?
Peter. Peter Van Roste. And I'm not talking about your political persuasion.
Thank you, Chris. And thank you for taking up that challenge again. I have a very simple question. What, in your view, is your greatest accomplishment on the board so far?
Staying there? So I think that you won't be surprised to hear that a vast amount of the board's time has been spent on the new GTLD stuff. It wouldn't come as a surprise to anybody, right? And I think that what I've done, if I had to choose something, it's the fact that I'm basically doing the GAC advice stuff on the board, or the NGPC, which is effectively the board in this particular instance. And I think that's effectively done. So we are now through the GAC advice, Category 1, Category 2. I don't know how up to date you guys are with it, but there was a fair amount of advice from the GAC on new GTLDs, and we have found a way through it. And I think I've managed to do that without causing conflict. So in other words, the GAC thinks it's a really great deal for the GAC, the board thinks it's a really great deal for the board. Actually, it's a crap deal for both of them, but at least it's a deal. So that would be the thing that I'd choose for the last 2 years. I also think that So boards tend to, not groups of people tend to coalesce and become a team if there is a common enemy. The common enemy left a year ago, and so there was work to do to actually, with the loss of that, with the loss of a reason. You know, reason to be together. We've done a fair bit of work on the collegiality and the professionalism of the board, and I think I've been fairly good at helping with that as well.
Thank you, Chris. We'll move on.
Don Holland. One of these working? Don Hollander from APTLD. Chris, CCTLDs have a special nature in the internet environment. Which you well know that they're certainly unique and sovereign. And how well do you think your board colleagues, and particularly your newest, your president, recognize that and are reminded of that?
So that's it's nice to hear the words Don Hollander from APTLD again, Don. That's a good question. So in fact, my experience from both outside before I was on the board and being on the board was that the people who tended to forget about the CCTLD's unique position were the ex-CCTLD people who went to the board. And in fact, Mike and I work extremely hard whenever a point comes up in respect to CCs to make sure that everybody remembers all the stuff that we all know, and I won't repeat. And I have to say that most of the board is very well aware either of what the situation is, or they're aware that they don't necessarily know, and therefore they refer to us. In respect to Fadi, he's still learning, but he learns pretty quick, and he takes feedback properly, and he's picked it up fairly quickly. I mean, Byron will tell you that a huge amount of the progress that's been made in respect to the finance came from a complete change in posture, and that complete change in posture came effectively from Fadi, who said, why are we worrying about this? Why, in the sense of, why do we insist that there's this amount of money? So, and that would be right, I think, Byron. So I think that's an illustration of his understanding that we are different. He's been instrumental in attempting to expand what is called the iStar grouping by saying to them, you really should have some representation from the CCTLD community. To be fair to them, it's not an organisation, it is literally just a meeting. But that's not the point. The point is that if you want a meeting of the iStars, the iStars need to include the real stars.
Thank you, Chris. And I'll have to make this the last question so we can... Okay, and Dottie's going to ask a short one. Two questions, and then we're going to have to move on to...
I'll give way to Dottie.
Are you sure?
Well, it was a quick question anyway, so
quick question.
With your permission. This is about your 2 years on the board so far, Chris. Are you still having fun?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm having fun.
Dottie?
I know that the board feels that it has had great success with the new GTLDs. However, how do you think they can explain the fact that the multi-stakeholder issue has kind of gone down the drain? Because what happened is what happens in a lot of places, and that is the man who has the goal makes the rule. And basically, the control of the new GTLDs has gone to those with deep pockets, and the little guys are just left to flounder. And I think that that's an outrage. And I don't see I'm interested in what defense they're planning to present, because I'm certainly not the only person who thinks this.
So I agree, basically, with what you said. Everyone, the rules going in the sense of if you were in competition, auctions, community policy, etc., rule, none of that's actually changed. Things have changed during the process based on GAC advice, etc., but the fundamental threads that make up the issue that you're talking about, Dottie, haven't. However, having said that, you are correct. The result is that it appears, at any rate, the result is that the deeper your pockets, the more likely you are. I could simply answer that by saying it's a fact of life if you choose to go down the commercial route. I actually don't necessarily believe that. I think that's an intensely, and no offence intended, I think that's an intensely American view of the way things are, whereas actually I take a slightly different, more liberal, small L liberal view. But I don't know the answer to the question as such, Dottie, in the sense that I don't think the board has, as a group, put its mind to the issue. I would encourage you and anybody else who feels as strongly as you obviously do to bring it up in the public forum on Thursday. And I would encourage you to be as passionate about it as you just were.
Thank you, Chris. With that, I'm going to have to bid you adieu.
I'll stick around.
Okay, thank you.
I want to watch.
Now we have the opportunity to hear from two candidates from each of the two available council seats. If I could ask the candidates from Africa to come up, Chris and Suleiman, and you can each have 3 or 4 minutes to make a statement, put forward your position as to why you think you're the most appropriate candidate, and then we can have some questions from the audience, and then we'll do the same thing subsequently for the candidates from Europe. We won't do this debate style. We'll just have a statement and then questions and answers from the audience. We'll try to limit it to 6 or 7 minutes, recognizing that'll put us a few minutes over the time allotted, but I think we're okay given the next agenda item and given the importance of this. And then, like I say, we'll follow the exact same process for the European candidates. So Chris Jamanga, hopefully I haven't butchered that too badly. Please correct me if I have. Go ahead.
Thanks, Baron. Okay, for those who don't know me, my name is Chris Chimanga, and I'm the administrative manager of CDNIC, which is a .cd for DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo. And my background is I've got a bachelor's degree in telecommunication engineering, and prospective master degree student, where my research consists of the voice of IP growth and the strain on the network security alleviation. I've got also some finance management certificate from university, and I also have project management, also M&A that we have run across Africa, my continent. And the reason why I postulate to this council position with different challenges that we have as a CCTLD running against policy development and sharing best practice policies and in our various CCTLD. So there are needs to learn every day and meet people like you are. And with an idea every day, you know, it come to make me, and as I'm meeting with you and taking this CCNSO forward to the next level, I can say. So it's time demanding, I know, and I need a candidate with ear open to formulate and translate challenges we come across into policies and best practice. Because I've got time to learn from some of the experts like you in this room, I'm ready to move CCNSO to the next level. That is why we need a candidate like me, and I'm ready to face the challenges. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris. Are there any questions for Chris?
Chimanga.
Spell it.
Oh, Tshimanga.
And Chris's and everybody else's name is actually on the full CCNSO schedule for today, so you can also see everybody's name there. Any other questions for Chris? Okay, then we will move on to Suleiman.
Thank
you. Hello. Good evening. Sorry, my English is very bad, but I will try to speak. My name is Suleiman Umtanaga from Ivorycoast.ci. I am .CI manager since 20 years, 1992. And besides this work, I am a teacher. Teacher of computer science. What I do in my country, first, I create the first exchange point in Ivory Coast. I help to create two copy root servers. I give many conferences in Africa and in my countries. I am also in this vice president of IFTLD. In this session, I try to establish several partnerships between IFTLD and organizations. I contribute actively to building workshop, looking for sponsor, defining topics. So I know African CCTLDs. So my candidate here is to help African CCTLD to grow between CCNSO and IFTLD. So we have a lot of workshops, and I want to relate what we done in CCNSO to African community. This is why I am here to share with you my candidate. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Suleiman. Are there any questions for Suleiman? No questions? Going, gone. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Good luck. And if I could ask Roloff and Nigel to come to the front, please. So same basic process, several minutes. Please use it judiciously, and we'll follow up one after the other with questions. In no particular order, but since you're closest, Nigel, please.
Thank you. My name is Nigel Roberts. Many of you do know me. I've been involved in this ICANN process for many years, since, in fact, before ICANN was formed. I sent out my personal statement just before this meeting, so I'm not going to rehearse everything that's in it. Just to say, I'm running because I want to win. Please give me your vote. If you have any questions, either based on what's in the personal statement or any other questions about how you think I might do the role, I was on the very first CCTLD constituency council when it was still part of what was then called the DNSO. I was on the admin committee of the CCTLDs between the interregnum after the CCTLDs left the DNSO and before the CCNSO was formed. I took a step back between 2004-2008 while I was doing law school, and we've just finished a significant piece of work that you've all been hearing about, the Framework of Interpretation Working Group work, and I think I can add value to council for you. And most importantly of all, and that isn't in my statement, and it's something I'm absolutely certain that Roloff and I agree on, the whole point is that we have a robust and fair election process, I think Roloff would make a great councillor, but I'd rather you voted for me, please.
How can you argue with that statement, right? Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions for Nigel? Any questions? Okay. Roloff, over to you.
I'm still unsure if you're making it easier for me or more difficult, Nigel. My name is Roloff Meijer. I'm the CEO of SIDN. SIDN is the registry of .nl, the Dutch CCTLD. I've been CEO at SIDN since 2005 when I joined the organization, I was tasked to professionalize it and to strengthen its national and international position. I think my team and I have done quite well on that job. The only thing where I failed is at that time we were number three in size and we're now number five. China overtook us and so did .tk. TK is okay because they're not a true CCTLD, I think. But China is a pity. Nigel is far behind. But I think he's running a good show. No, I'm sure he is, by the way. I sent out my election statement yesterday. I'm not going to rehearse it, just like Nigel. But what the one question I want to answer for you, just in case you won't ask me, is why am I here? I did a first term, and why did I do that, and why do I want to continue? First part of the answer is because I, like I think everybody of us, I truly believe in the multi-stakeholder model. But there are some spaces where this definitely has to improve, will it be able to survive? And as a CCNSO, I think we can contribute to improving that model. I think the true values of the CCNSO are, first of all, we make global CC policy. I think that's a very limited task. We have our occasional PDP, but luckily we don't have that many. I think the second role that the CCNSO has is that we help CCTLD managers, members or not, to form opinions. And the CCNSO helps them to put that opinion across collectively. And I think the CCNSO, now I'm convinced that the CCNSO has developed into a very powerful SO. And that's because the way we are organized, the people that we have in this group, and the time that we spend and the way we prepare. And thirdly, I think a great value of this group or this SO is the experience that we can share. And I think there we are completely different from all the other ones because roughly we do the same work, but we do it in a different economic environment, in a different political environment, in a different governance structure, but we are not competitors. And that makes it very, very efficient and very effective to work together, to exchange experiences, to exchange knowledge, and to collaborate. And those are the reasons why I really like the CCNSO. And then I'm also convinced if you want to use it and if you want to use the merits of it, then you also have to be willing to invest time and other means. And that's why I'm here. If you want me, I'll spend another 2-3 years working in the CCNSO Council.
You might as well stay up there in case there are any questions. Oh, yeah. Are there any questions for Roelof? Any questions at all?
Any questions for Byron?
No. Okay. Thank you very much. And defying predictions, we are now ahead of time, only by a few minutes. But thank you very much, gentlemen. Best of luck to you. And just so everybody is aware, the elections start, correct me if I'm wrong, Gabby, next Friday, and they run until December 13th. So you have a couple of weeks to get your vote in. Please make sure you do. Your vote counts. So please, you've got 2 weeks to do it. Please do so. On that note, we will move to the next and final segment of our day, which is updates from SO and AC, and we will begin with the NOMCOM. If I could ask them to come up here, and we have 15 minutes for the update from the NOMCOM. Then we'll be moving into IANA, and then on to the ATRT.
Here we go. Okay. Buenas tardes. Boa tarde. Good afternoon. We have here, my name is Yrjö Länsipuro, the chair of the nominating committee for one day more. And after that, Cheryl will take over. She was the chair-elect on the 2013 committee, and then 2014 committee chair-elect is Stefan van Gelder, who already was a member of the 2013 committee, and last the associate chair of the 2013 committee was Adam Peake. So we want to tell you what we have been doing. I understand that you are in the middle of your election process, but of course there is also a nominating committee that gives the CCNSO Council some members without asking you. Well, not quite, because we got the advice from the CCNSO Council chair, and we get advice from all constituencies, and we try to follow that. I hope that you are happy with the two people we gave you. That's exceptional, of course, because usually the nominating committee each year selects one new member for the council, but this time, as you know, there was a resignation and we had the chance of selecting two. Our process, some people who have been a long time, no doubt you know that the nominating committee was known as a black box. It was basically like those guys who select the Pope, who go in seclusion and then sit there, and then finally there is white smoke and out comes the Pope. We have been trying to do something about that image, and not only the image of being secretive and sort of black box-like, but actually a year ago when we started this journey at our kickoff meeting in Toronto, we decided that we want to strike a new balance between transparency and confidentiality requirements for the NOMCOM. Of course, they are contradictory. We have to be confidential, absolutely confidential about names. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any candidates. But we also want to increase transparency as much as possible. And so basically deciding that the process is open, data is secret, we have held open meetings, open working meetings at all ICANN meetings so far, the three. There will be one tomorrow at 10:30 in Atalia room, and I hope that many of you can attend. And the other thing, that was actually Stefan's idea, was a weekly, but monthly report card to the constituencies and stakeholder groups about what we have been doing that month. So I think that measures we could increase the transparency a little bit, and it's up to Cheryl after this to continue. So please take my phone.
What a segue. My name is Cheryl Langdon-Orr, for those of you who have not met me before. I wear a number of hats, some in this room, but I've had the honour of serving with Yurio as his chair-elect for the last 12 months on the nominating committee for ICANN. And one of the things that leadership, and you've already been introduced to Stefan, of a nominating committee does is we don't vote. The representatives that you send one to sit at the table on behalf of your community. Other parts of the ICANN world do the same thing. And they do the voting, we do the due diligence administration, make sure everything runs properly, etc., etc. So we are non-voting leadership team. And I'm doing this because each year the chair has the right to ask for an assistant chair. as Adam served with Yurio, I'm not going to lose talent, am I? So guess who I'm keeping? So Yurio will continue to serve this year. So you're looking at 1, 2, 3 as a leadership team. But I'd also note that we've got a number of people in the room who you may not recognise because they're our non-commers incoming and a few outgoing. If Ron and I saw Fatimata and a few come in, if you could just stand, thank you, yes, stand up, wave around, go hello, here I am. These are the people who vote, who will be making the decisions, who you can approach, who you can talk to. They are all, not just your rep, but all of them are available for interaction right up until the end when we all go into seclusion and start making decisions. one of the things I was hoping we might be able to do today, Yuri, you mentioned that we heard and we had very, very clear, very concise, and above all, thank you very much, CCNSO Council, written information on the types of skill sets and characteristics you wanted as a receiving body, which gave the NOMCOM, and another one sneaks in, hello, they're normally prompt, but what can you say, they're, you know, hard, that you wanted to have in the person that we send to you. So I'd like to ask you now to review what has been sent to the 2013 Nominating Committee and see as a community whether you want to tell your council to make any changes, any adjustments, if you desperately need, you know, a particular characteristic or skill set. Because what we do from that information that we collect from all receiving bodies, including the board, is whilst there's these overarching sets of principles and criteria that all leaders need to have, we look at those and they come into the weighting and the deliberations and the banding that happens in the process. So if you can try and get onto that as soon as possible, in a perfect world, we'd like to have that quite early in the calendar year of 2014. We do have to be finished our process by mid-year, and so the sooner you give that to us, the sooner we can publish that, and the sooner that people who may be putting in their statements of interest to perhaps be appointed to your council will be able to see the types of particular skill sets and qualities you're after. And I think you might just want to tell them a little bit more about the time courses. Thanks.
Yeah, there's another request we can make to you. That is to say, we need good candidates, and we need many of them. We were happy in 2013 to have actually 111 candidates for various posts, and that was an all-time record. Of course, it makes our task actually more difficult because we have to select from more people. But anyway, that's what we need. And we would very much like you to if you think that you have in mind good candidates for the board and for the SOs and for ALAC, please tell them to apply. Or you can also send in recommendations directly to NOMCOM. So that is something that we would like you to do. The cycle is, of course, we after the kickoff meeting Friday and Saturday, at some point the announcement will be out and the SOI form, the form for the submitting of expression of interest, and the deadline typically has been April, May, and then the selection meeting, final selection meeting, will be in this case will be in London. So that is roughly the timetable. But perhaps you have questions.
Go ahead.
Sorry, very quickly, Stefan van Gelder here. Just want to add two general points to what's been said and the very detailed explanations you've had. The first is that as the 2013 NOMCOM worked to increase transparency and did so, I believe, extremely successfully, I think there's agreement, certainly amongst the leadership team, and as we go into our NOMCOM meetings and discussions, I hope, with the committee itself, that we aim to continue and to work on community engagement. Transparency was important because, as Euro mentioned, there was a feeling that the process itself was obscure or not visible enough. But engagement is, in my mind at least, equally as important, and that is up to the community as well to really interact with a process, and that's the second point I wanted to make, that I find both unique and stimulating. In a governance environment, the fact that there is a nominating committee is something that is quite precious and quite unique, because it allows outside blood and people that may not be part of the community in a natural way to find find a way into the community. And that is something that we should really, I believe, fight for, defend, and build upon, because it is another jewel in the ICANN community's crown. Thank you.
I'll just jump in after Stefan and say part of the community outreach, of course, is for you to use your networks to spot talent. You don't just have to be the talent yourself. If you have in your own network extended networks even, people who you believe would be ideal for any of the leadership positions. Notice we're avoiding saying board a lot, right? That's deliberate, because it's not all about just putting leaders on the board. It's about putting leaders in all parts of ICANN. So anyone who you think there is a bunch of little giveaways, and everyone who will be a NOMCOM member will have some of these business cards with them permanently and forevermore, I think, now. On one side it says be a candidate yourself, and there's a URL to do it. On the other side it says recommend a candidate. So you can in fact just say, I think Mary Bloggs would be ideal, and put Mary Bloggs' name in there, and we will reach out to them. So please use your networks to help us network to the right people. And I guess we are now back to any questions.
Are there any questions?
There'll be a pop quiz next time we meet, so I hope you all paid attention. Bye for now.
Okay, thank you very much, both for the presentation
thank
and the
you.
Work.
Thank you very much for having us.
Okay, we're running a couple of moments ahead. Next up is Ayanna and Kim Davies. Thank you, Stefan. And Kim, thank you for joining us, and you have up to 20 minutes.
Thanks again for allowing me the opportunity to come to you and update you on what we're doing within the IANA service. For those that don't know me, my name is Kim Davies. I work primarily on brood zone management within ICANN. That means we're responsible for delegating TLDs and then the ongoing management of the entire set of TLDs in the brood zone. So since we last met, what have we been up to? Well, we concluded a several year-long preparation for a number of new GTLD delegations, and we've in fact begun implementing new GTLD delegations. We've also performed a number of IANA contract-related consultations. Those consultations have resulted in the posting of a number of new things, including new documentation, some of which I think will interest you, as well as a number of new reports which I'll go through. We also have been working on the performance of some of our processes, and I'll get into details on that too. So, new GTLD processing. I think as we heard in the previous discussion with Chris, new GTLDs has been a large part of ICANN deliberations, discussion and operations really for the last few years. Where does IANA fit in that process? Well, as I mentioned, the ongoing management of TLDs essentially interfaces with the IANA department, just as you do in managing your CCTLDs whenever there's an administrative change for a TLD, whenever there's some technical changes that need to be done, they will need to interface with the IANA department in order to affect those changes. But first up, they need to actually have their TLDs delegated in the root zone for the first time. Now, in the past, we've done, you know, maybe 10 to 20 delegations per year. The new GTLD program obviously increases that to a much higher number. So we recognize that our existing methods needed to be reviewed. We needed to work out how to optimize the process. We needed to make our department performant so we could accept the volume of new GTLD requests we're likely to receive and execute them in a timely way without impacting all of the things we need to do for you guys. So in order to do that, we did a few things. Firstly, we upgraded our root zone management system. This is the system you log into via the web to submit your root zone change requests. We also did integration with the new GTLD application system. So some people call it TAS, some people call it SFDC, but you know there's a different web interface that new GTLD applicants go to in order to submit their GTLD requests. We've hooked our system into that system so that if a new GTLD applicant goes to the delegation system, it's all involves a smooth handoff to IANA. We went through all the steps of how we process delegations in the past, and we worked out how can we best optimize the process. So we wanted to, you know, automate as much as possible without sacrificing quality. We wanted to work out how can we make a repeatable process that does all the right checks and balances but doesn't take any more time than necessary. And we also worked on producing better documentation. I think that, you know, root zone management for some is a bit of a black art, so we wanted to try and expose that as much as possible, produce simple instructions, make that go smoothly. And one thing I wanted to highlight is this work. I mean, I know I'm talking a lot about GTLDs in a CCTLD forum, but a lot of this work will directly and indirectly benefit you. Firstly, I mentioned earlier that, you know, we want to maintain or improve our service to you as well. So if we can deal with GTLDs in a timely way, that means we don't need to remove any resources that might impact CCTLD processing. And secondly, a lot of the improvements we're doing are really applicable to all TLDs. For the most part, the work that IANA does is indiscriminate as to whether it's a G or a CC. It all works the same internally. So with that in mind, in the last month, since the 23rd of October, we've delegated 31 new GTLDs. For comparison, the column on the right is roughly the same number of TLDs prior to that. So we had delegated around 30 new TLDs in about 3 years, and now we've done it in about 3 weeks. So it's a bit of a shift inside our department about how many we need to process, but I think future slide, I think we've done a relatively good job. One thing I wanted to highlight about this, you know, I'm on the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, and you know, part of the early discussion of that working group was how complex and difficult it is to penetrate some of the reporting that IANA has done in the past in terms of delegations and redelegations. So one of the things we've done with GTLD delegation reports is really focused on how do we get the key information readily visible and easily accessible. So we completely redesigned the delegation report format. I think it's a great improvement on what we've done in the past for previous GTLDs. Here's a little snapshot of a piece of it, but essentially clearly spells out the criteria of what we're checking for, clearly shows whether they match or don't, clearly spells out the relevant pieces of data. So I think that the lessons we've learned from this, and hopefully with your support, we can look at applying this as well to our ccTLD procedures so that in the future, when we do ccTLD delegations and redelegations, we'll have much clearer reporting, which I think is beneficial for everyone. So how have we done? Well, this is the statistics for the first three batches, I guess, of new gTLDs. This is really everything up until yesterday. We delegated seven more this morning, so that's not on this graph. But these are the average amounts of time it has taken us to do these delegation requests. 1.9 days, 1.9 days. It's kind of skewed a little. Everything beyond the first four includes a weekend, so you can kind of subtract two off all those. But, you know, essentially we're doing complete delegation requests in less than one business week, generally 2 to 3 business days. This is something that we're proud of. We've done, as I said, taken a lot of steps to optimize our process, and I think it's reflected in this chart. Just for comparison to the other kinds of requests we do, here's a snapshot of the last 15 days of IANA requests. You can see that the average processing time on the right, the delegations and redelegations really are taking roughly the same amount of time as ordinary root zone change requests. So the same amount of time it takes to do just an ordinary NS update or update your administrative contact. So the two graphs I just showed you is part of something that we're rolling out, which is a number of new reports that are available to you to look at. We have new graphing dashboards in terms of how well we're doing based on live data. We have a new performance or an SLA report, effectively setting out here are the standards that IANA wishes to live up to in terms of how quickly we do changes and reporting against those SLAs. We're also bringing new transparency to root zone changes by producing an audit report. This monthly audit report documents all the changes we made in the previous month. So just quickly, here's a snapshot of the SLA report, for example. We enumerate all the changes we've done, when we got them, how long it took to process them, and whether we met our SLA. So we think this is a good starting point to allowing you to measure us in a better way. I think over time we'll evolve the actual numerical SLAs. Maybe they should be more aggressive. Maybe they should be altered a little. And in dialogue with you, we'll help inform us on how we want that to evolve. But most importantly, by publishing this data, you can hold us accountable that we're doing our job in an appropriate amount of time and to the right measures. Here's a snapshot of the root audit report. So you can see, again, listing off all the changes that we've done for a particular month or a particular time period. It says who submitted it, what the change was, what happened, and so on. So this is some new reports that we are now publishing. We have, I think, 2 months' worth of reports available now. We'll continue to publish them month in, month out. We have a few more reports still to come. But these are the results of public consultations that we've been doing in the last few months on what reporting we should be doing. And these are the consultations we did. I know some of you responded to those consultations. We're very appreciative of that input. And certainly, you know, that's not the end of the input. If you have any further observations or comments on these things, please do let me know and let our team know. Another thing that's a result of the consultations is a raft of new documentation that we didn't have before. You know, one of the commitments in the new IANA contract was to publish user documentation explaining how to use some of the key IANA functions. We produced draft documentation that we put out for public consultation, and based on that feedback, we've now published that documentation online. Our goal is that this is a foundation upon which we can build up a knowledge base of help articles. We have user instructions, but we also, you know, we have specific topics that are commonly get customer requests about. we like to build up articles that explain certain facets of what we do and how to interact with us. Some of the documents that we've published recently include, firstly, an overall description of how route changes are done, a new guide to how delegation and redelegations of CCTLDs are performed, how delegations of GTLDs are performed. We have a new FAQ on redelegations. We get a lot of questions about how redelegations are done, how we judge them, and so on. So we've built up an FAQ. And based on your questions moving forward, we'll update that and add new questions as appropriate. We list out what the eligibility criteria are for TLDs. We explain how we validate consent for a route zone change. In the context of a TLD redelegation, we ask you to provide an operational and technical plan. So we provide guidance on how to write one of those. And we've updated the technical requirements documentation as well. So the link is at the end of my presentation, but, you know, just a few screenshots to give you a sense of what's up there. Here's a screenshot of that preparing an operational plan. Don't expect you to read this, but it's just to illustrate what's on the IANA website right now. Lastly, we're quite pleased that a few months ago we had a team of independent assessors come to ICANN. They sat down and did interviews with all of the IANA staff. They went through all of our internal policies and procedures, and they awarded us a Committed to Excellence Award for 2013. What this means is we scored sufficiently high to be recognised as committed to excellence, and what that means is effectively we have an internal set of procedures and measurements and reporting that we're constantly looking at how we do things and improving things, and we have a formal methodology against which we do that. For those that have been around for a while, we've been doing this internal assessment for about 4 years now, led by Leo Vigoda in my department. This is the first time we've had those outside independent assessors come in and actually score us. So there's still more work to be done. This isn't the end of the road, but it is a recognition that the IANA department has sort of taken it seriously that we need to have clear, consistent internal processes. They need to be accountable to what you as a community need, and that we have the proper processes in place internally to measure ourselves, to improve ourselves, and to improve ourselves for you. So in summary, I think we've really exceeded expectations in new GTLD handling. I've been involved in the new GTLD project really since it began inside the company. Initially, we were estimating maybe the delegation request would take 4 to 6 weeks. I think in all the guidance we'd given out recently, the estimate had been revised down to 2 to 3 weeks. And we're turning them around in as little as 1.5 days. So I think that that's a reflection of the effort we've put into improving our processes, and I hope some of the lessons we learn from that and some of the experiences we gain, again, we can apply to improving some of the other things that IANA does as well. New reporting, you can see some of those reports I showed you at iana.org/performance. New documentation. The documentation that pertains to route zone management is at the URL up there. As I mentioned, we're committed to continual review and improvement. That means an ongoing cycle of annual reviews, looking at how we do things, documenting, analysing, and having experts come in and look at how we're doing things and give us recommendations to improve. And then finally, you know, coming to these meetings for the last 2 years has been a bit of a challenge because we've been in a holding pattern in relation to the IANA contract renewal, some of these other things. But I think we're excited now that that's more or less behind us now. We can now get back to doing incremental improvements and coming back to you at every meeting with new things that we've done and having a dialogue with you about what you want us to focus on. So there'll be more to come, and I'm looking forward to the things I can tell you about at the next meeting. So with that, thank you very much, and happy to answer any questions.
Thanks very much, Kim. Certainly seems like there have been very significant steps forward, and that's, I think, much appreciated from the community and certainly as a CC operator it is. Are there any questions for Kim? Comments? Thoughts? 2 thumbs up? All right. Well, you get the late afternoon time slot, so we're talked out, I guess. All right, well, thank you very much, Kim. Appreciate that. And we continue to be 2 or 3 minutes ahead of time, so thanks. Next up is a report on the ATRT2. Becky, are you? Yes. All at, but you're all coming up here at once, right? You're not going to do it sequentially. Okay. And I'm counting on you to self-organize. Oh, you weren't kidding. Sure, come on up. I can move over.
The more the merrier.
The more the merrier.
Do you have the assignment? Oh, it's on the schedule, right? So it's on the schedule. I know.
There is a draft report here. It's in the...
Yes, but there are highlights.
So where...
Can you repeat the question, Peter?
They're going to give highlights of that report so that we don't have to read the whole report.
Okay.
Tell you what we're going
to do. Good. How are you?
We're conducting an experiment, a new experiment in how we develop comments because there's a little comment exhaustion, and so we. Someone in the Secretariat, or maybe Byron, had the great idea to send the draft ATRT2 report and ask for volunteers to draft comments on specific sections in it. And we got volunteers, and the volunteers are going to sort of discuss their sections. And this isn't necessarily a sort of initial comment period, but it's sort of observations and views. Okay, so who has the lowest number comment? Because I don't have the list of who signed up for everything, for what. Seven and eight, why don't you?
Why don't we just go down the row?
What recommendations you've agreed to write on and summarize them?
Okay, Pong has been working on recommendation 9.
Seven and eight.
Okay, I'm 11. You're. Oh, okay. And are you ATRT? Okay. Okay, let's start with 7. Why don't we start with you?
Okay. For recommendation 9, there are actually 5 sub-recommendations. I principally agree with all 5 sub-recommendations, but some sub-recommendations need some clarification. For sub-recommendation 1, mandate board response to advisory committee's formal advice. I agree with that, and it's quite consistent with Fedi's reply to SOP letter, as ICANN is going to develop a responsive and institutionalized structure. But what is the meaning of response? Is this a got note, or they're going to take action, like the board's response to GAC advice? That's been formalized. How about the response to the other advisory committee? So that's for one. The second one is very important. It's for restructuring the review mechanism. Currently, there are two review mechanisms. One is independent review. Another one is reconsideration. They're not functioning very well. But it is not very clear from this recommendation. They only propose processes, more processes. As a member of SOP, SOP working group, we're not interested in more processes. We're interested in substances. The current recommendation suggests we should have an expert group to form a report first and then form a community steering committee. And then the committee will come out the proposed reformed review mechanism. So this is the process. I'd suggest we at least add some principles to define what kind of review mechanism we need, such as how to keep it neutral, independent, and really justified.
Okay. We need to keep this short. We have 25 minutes for the whole discussion. So, Roloff, are you going to come up? Because you have a section too. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Who else is here? Is Katrina here? Hero? Oh, okay. Okay, great. And is Youngham here? I haven't actually seen Youngham. And Vika? Is Vika here? Okay, we're going to skip a few of them. Oh, okay. All right. Why don't you talk about 7 and 8? And I think we should just acknowledge that probably most everybody hasn't read them, read the recommendations yet, and so it would be very useful for you to start out by just giving a brief description about what the recommendations were. And let me just preface it by saying the format of the recommendations is quite useful. The ATRT essentially said, here were our recommendations in ATRT 1 on these particular topics. And then they evaluated whether the work of that recommendation, the implementation was complete or incomplete or incomplete or complete, but something new had come up. And then they gave a description of that and then indicated what their recommendations were going to be going forward.
Okay. Well, I was about to say that I'm not going to read the recommendations because they are really long and we have just 2 minutes, but, well, basically, wrapping up. Recommendation number 7, basically, having received no input from the community, the team basically agreed on the proposals, but we wanted to stress a specific point. We understand that the main issue regarding the problems with communication, translation, and so, is the complexity of the initial language used when proposing translations. That is, no plain English is used, the language is very complex, so this, we understand, really creates complexity when translating, some confusion with the translated versions. So we encourage and stress the need that all reports and interventions to use plain English, short sentences, no idiomatics, and having chairs to remind that as much as possible to really keep easy English to ease translations. Beside that, in the different recommendations that they said, well, they are going to do this and that and so, the same as item 9. When there are no metrics in the recommendation effectiveness section, we stress then the need and urgency to set clear deliverables, deadlines, owners, and if possible, before ICANN 49, because there are just wishes, goodwill, and that's all. Regarding item 8, was basically about the time on comment, the period comments, and so. We understand, well, that the recommendations that are proposed are fine, even if they are not too detailed, but we understand that there is also the need to capture maybe some statistics for forward planning. That is, it could be also interesting to get some insight on, for example, the respondent profiles, the region from there, sending that that comment, and so, as well as, if possible, for instance, the part of the industry, registry, registrar, IP, business, whatever. So, and if possible, the personal one. And finally, encourage also the community members to champion the use of engagement tools such as My ICANN inside their own constituencies to facilitate that communication process and to encourage people to use the comment process.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, I have to confess I don't like long reports, and this is a long one. So I went for the summary first, but then I was tempted to read the whole thing, which I did in the end. And I have to compliment the working group because it's very well structured. I think the content is very good, and it's very clear that you spend a lot of time, effort, and especially brain power on this study. So I can really recommend all my fellow CCNSO people to go through it. I picked wisely, so I picked the advice on the financial accountability and transparency. And that subject coincides very nicely with my chairmanship of the CCNSO SOP working group. And I had the opportunity to share the recommendations with the group during our face-to-face meeting this Sunday. And we all concluded that the advice that the ATR2 team gives on financial accountability and transparency is very much in line with the feedback we've been given ICANN over time, and especially the feedback that we've been given ICANN recently in our letter where we expressed our frustration and concern, so to speak. So, in short, what the working group recommends is ICANN to improve the financial governance, the procedures and the budget consultation process, and especially improve participation and enable the board to take into account all input before the budget is being approved. They also recommend, this is my own rephrasing, a stronger focus on cost effectiveness, something I've heard very often. Frequently benchmark ICANN against other organizations, for instance, on the size of the organization and all issues related to staff compensation. They propose 3 years, and there, as SOP working group, especially on staff compensation, we felt that if you benchmark there, you have to do it more frequently than every 3 years. So that is our feedback to the team on that subject. And the last recommendation was that the annual budget be based on a multi-annual financial framework. And I think it's very similar to what we recommend, but I would suggest to rephrase that into that the budget is based on an operational plan, an annual operational plan, and that annual operational plan is based on a multi-year strategy. And that the strategic goals are translated into annual goals and objectives, and then automatically from there you can calculate your budget. But for the rest, I think, or we felt there were good recommendations, and we're going to watch closely how ICANN is going to follow them up.
And I'm going to talk about Section 11, Recommendations 20, 23, 25, 26, and a little bit of 24. These were recommendations largely related to the accountability mechanisms. And the first one was to ensure that inputs received from an advisory committee, so GAC, RSAC, SSAC, would have proper attention. And the ATRT2 team found that there was some improvement, but still not a defined process and actually no real obligation to even respond. So the recommendation is that the bylaws should be amended to require the board to respond in a timely manner to formal advice from all of the advisory organizations with an explanation of action taken and the rationale. And I think, the devil's in the details, but particularly the timely requirement is important to all of us because when it takes the board a long time to get back to the advisory organization's important work that we're doing gets held up. ATR21 had recommended that that ICANN convene a team of an experts panel to conduct a broad and comprehensive review of the independent review process, reconsideration, and the ombudsman to review whether the scope was adequate, whether things could be done to make it more cost and time efficient, and whether by expanding the scope, the board could improve accountability. And the ATRT 2 noted that ICANN did convene an experts panel, but it did not resolve a question regarding an independent and binding review of board decisions, and suggested that that ICANN should convene a special community committee to discuss options for improving accountability through restructure of the independent review and reconsideration processes, and using the report of the experts group on the as a baseline. With the same, along with the same kind of recommendations, was in particular a need to clarify the reconsideration standard and its scope, and to establish a timeline and standard for formats for reconsideration requests. And then finally, they looked at the work that ICANN's done with respect to evaluating the work of the ombudsman. Ombudsperson program and the scoping on that, and noted that this is one of the complete but findings, which is that there is a whistleblower protection program in place, but it is deficient and is not therefore is probably not being used. So the recommendation was to establish a viable whistleblower protection program so that staff members can feel secure about reporting conduct that they think is inconsistent with, problematic in this area. And we all know, any company knows that that's important to have. And then I gather the ombudsperson raised the question of whether the charter for the ombuds should be amended to provide an explicitly defined role for the ombudsman with respect to ensuring the transparent flow of information, maintaining peace and harmony in the community. And I'm pretty amazed that somebody asked for that responsibility, but and then for resolving unanticipated issues arising in connection with the new GTLD, new GTLDs and the dispute resolution. On this one, I couldn't really tell whether the dispute resolution was dispute resolutions in connection with new GTLDs. That was ambiguous to me. I thought that's what you were maybe talking about, but I wasn't sure.
I'm not sure that we put that fine of a point on it. This is Brian Cute. It certainly wasn't intended to encroach on the scope of what otherwise might fall under reconsideration or independent review. So looking at it through that lens, there's opportunity there to establish new procedures, but certainly not to substitute for what is in place in the other mechanisms.
Okay. So like Rolf, I found that the report was very well written and really nicely structured, and it, sort of I wanted to find a way of thinking about it and analyzing it, and it just flowed right into that. And I think that I think we will be supportive of the recommendations. I do have one question. I'm going to turn this over to you guys and let you talk a little bit more generally. But one of the things that I was very interested in is the first ATRT recommendation was an experts panel. Now you're calling for a special community committee, which sounds like a very different thing and sounds like it was a deliberate choice. I would be very interested in hearing a little bit more about that choice. It's no secret that I thought that ICANN did a pretty sloppy job on the experts panel. So I hope this is an opportunity to correct some of that.
Thank you, Becky. Let me first just make a couple of process points. This is a draft report. It's out for public comment. The comment period closes tomorrow. A reply comment period will follow for 21 days. It closes on December 13th. We are very eager to get written comments, so to the extent, and we appreciate very much these inputs which we're taking on board. But if you have written comments to add as well, please do so. We are going to provide the report by December 31st. We're at the phase of our process where we're really listening carefully to you and the community of what recommendations are on target, so we know to go forward with those, and which ones are not. So we are willing to modify the recommendations depending on the input we hear. To your question about the expert working group, and I'll ask other members to weigh in here. I'm not speaking on behalf of the entire team necessarily. The sense that we got on this question of reconsideration and independent review, listening to the community and listening to the board, is diametrically opposed views as to what transpired. From the board perspective, following on ATRT1, an expert working group was put in place. It was populated by individuals who had the requisite skill set to address the issues. It went through a process. The community was involved. It established adjustments to those mechanisms, and therefore the implementation work has been completed. Some input from the community speaks to a quite different understanding of what transpired, not substantive interaction with the community, a narrowing of the scope of a particular mechanism, and not a sufficient process at the end of the day. In light of those diametrically opposed views, this is a recommendation that we have put forward in draft. It would call for a community-based engagement, not necessarily a repeat of an expert working group put in place by the board. We felt community engagement on this question is clearly important, and even heard from the board when we asked on this question. We asked them in particular, are there any recommendations that we should deem as priority or urgent? And this was pointed to by a director because it is recognized that there is a disconnect of perception on this issue by the board. So this is what we've put forward, and if this is not the best approach or mechanism or there's a better way to approach this issue, that's what we're listening carefully for.
So one question would be whether I actually think that the community input is critical here, and I like that approach. I think the experts panel suffered from some deficiency. One question would be whether a community group committee could get some support, you know, some from, it depends on who the makeup is, but, you know, would they have access to the experts in some limited way, something like that? Any questions about ATRT2? Really, it is long, but it's not a slog. Any other comments?
No, we're really here.
Anybody there?
It's the end of the day. Drew the end of the day slot.
Oh, I have a question. It's been addressed by Becky just now. I can, in the new GTLD program, actually outsource the dispute resolution to a couple of service providers. And in many cases, the parties were not happy with the decision of service providers. So they reappeal to the board to reconsider the decision rendered by the expert panel appointed by the service provider. And I wonder whether it is also in the scope of your recommendation 9.2, right?
Thank you for that. That wasn't explicitly in the scope of this draft recommendation, but this we have heard that question from other parts of the community about these panels and whether these reconsideration mechanisms or appeals mechanisms can be triggered on the basis of action by those panels. So this is the second time we've heard this point, and we'll take that into consideration. We understand it's an open concern.
Okay. Are we still ahead of schedule?
You are still slightly ahead of schedule. We have 7 or 8 minutes left.
Okay. If there are any other questions or comments, do you want to? Would you just talk a little bit about the board capacity, the first three sort of series of recommendations?
Sure. So we have the first three recommendations focus on measuring board performance and director performance and the effect of compensation on the pool of candidates that are attracted to become ICANN directors. ATRT 1, one of its recommendations was to provide compensation for directors. There's an interest in there to see what the effect of that was on the quality of the candidate pool. We had a very good engagement with the board about these three. There was a sense from the board that focusing on the performance of the board is the more important as opposed to the performance of directors. The board shared with us that they have done 360 or peer type reviews of all the directors, that in trying to do that for all directors at the same time, it was very unwieldy and difficult. They indicated that they now do very intensive peer review for directors who are coming up. Their term is coming up and they may be reappointed to the board or not. And there's a sense from the board that those reviews are quite effective, that they are quality types of reviews. And so a sense from the board that if we could focus our recommendations on the performance of the board overall and what type of metrics could be applied to that, that that would be a well-focused recommendation.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much. Good work.
Thank you all. And please provide your comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you to all who've done, obviously, a huge amount of heavy lifting to put out a 233-page easily readable report. Thank you very much. Just one final note. We've picked up a few moments here. One final note in terms of our next agenda item, which is the CCNSO cocktail party. oh, look, there's a response. Okay. So the logistics for that are at 6:30 this evening in little over an hour. We will all meet at the front door of the Sheraton Park Tower Hotel. So that's the far end of this hotel. There's two separate towers. It's the one furthest from where we are now. Okay, so it's out front of the lobby of the Park Tower Hotel at 6:30. And that's where the buses will be to pick us up. We'll be returning about 9:30. Okay? You're free to go now from here, unless you'd like to stay. But it's a 6:30 p.m. pickup at the front of the lobby of the Sheraton Park Tower Hotel. I don't know where we are being taken, but I'm assured it's going to be good. Six 6:30, you've got a free hour.
Yes. Buses are going to be 8:30. Oh, okay. Not much. I mean, the last special. But all you want. Not that I know of.
We tried. I think I know. I was looking to see it.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, you know, you really shouldn't schedule anything.
Thank you.
It could, in principle. It could. The others sounded like a good idea. It's just like
it allows us to, you know, we're going to a comedy club.